This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udama. A Connecticut congressman, the ranking Democrat on the House Intelligence Committee, tries to navigate an unprecedented Trump era.
Whether it was military strikes in Iran or in Venezuela, he not only did not get a heads up, but never heard from anyone in the administration, either right away or for a couple of days, on what happened. And he was finding out just like the rest of the public.
That's Lisa Hagan, the Connecticut Mirror's federal policy reporter based in Washington, D.C. She's done a deep dive into how Connecticut's Jim Hines, the top Democrat on the U.S. House Intelligence Committee, is navigating the power struggle between Congress and the White House. More to come after this.
Whether you order a grinder or a hero for lunch, spend summers on the Sound or on Jones Beach, and I'm not even going near the pizza debate, there's something for nutmeggers and Long Islanders alike on the WSHU podcast, After All Things. Get the news and culture from around the Long Island Sound in less than 15 minutes. Hosted by me, Sabrina Garon. Weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Lisa. A couple of weeks ago, the U.S. struck Venezuela and captured its president without informing Congress prior to the attack. You say that prompted you to investigate how Jim Hines is handling his role as the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, considering they were kept in the dark. Tell us a little bit about the role that Jim Hines plays and how he's handling the situation right now.
Yeah, it's a very influential position that he's in as ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. And so typically, he's part of a very small group of people that can be privy to some of the earliest information on really major military action. And so whether it's been Republican or Democratic administration in more recent years, you know, a lot of the times they haven't been able to give or haven't wanted to give Congress much of a heads up. Typically, maybe they'll tell Congress, you know, right after something happens. So, you know, not all the time are members of Congress getting notified, even seeking congressional approval. But I think what's been interesting for Jim Hines over the last 6 months was whether it was military strikes in Iran or in Venezuela, he not only did not get a heads up, but never heard from anyone in the administration either right away or for a couple of days on what happened. And he was finding out just like the rest of the public. So he's kind of been put in this interesting position, given how prominent of a role this is.
Now, tell us a little bit about the Gang of Eight. He's a member of the Gang of Eight. What is the Gang of Eight?
The Gang of Eight, it's a, you know, jargony kind of DC term, but it's a group of eight lawmakers. It is the top Senate and House leaders in both parties. So it's Speaker of the House, Senate Majority Leader, Minority Leader, et cetera. And it's the chairs and ranking members on both the intelligence committees on the Senate and the House side. So Jim Hines had been one of the Gang of Eight since he was elevated to his role as ranking member in 2023. And so again, he gets some of the earliest intelligence and gets briefed by administration officials, you know, usually in cases like this, Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense. And so again, these are a group of eight lawmakers that are supposed to directly hear from the administration, either, you know, early or right after when we're seeing something like a major bombing or strike.
So dealing with the situation the way it is, being kept in the dark, how is he trying to navigate that situation to play a role in what happens going forward, considering we're talking about a number of foreign adventures right now?
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it can be fairly difficult. And it's, you know, because of the sensitive nature of his role, you know, there's only so much he can share publicly, but it sounds like, you know, he's able to kind of go behind the scenes, go through back channels. And so maybe he's not getting FaceTime or direct contact with some of, you know, these major cabinet officials, but he's able to kind of talk to other people, not just the Rubios and the Hegseths, but he's able to talk to other people who he has working relationships with. And, you know, I think he has a reputation on both sides of the aisle of being to be able to work on intelligence matters. And so at least what was been able to be shared with me, it sounds like he's able to kind of talk through some of this and maybe try to insert his opinion and directing sort of military matters going forward. And so it sounds like he's trying to use whatever, sway he has in Congress to do so.
There's been a lot of talk about the War Powers Act and Congress taking more control over how decisions are made. There's been some movement in Congress right now. Is Himes involved in any of that?
Yes, he was mentioning that the House is also going to similarly take up the War Powers Resolution. So the Senate has already passed that. Several Republicans joined Democrats in being able to pass that, reining in the Trump administration from being able to further engage in military action in Venezuela without getting approval from Congress. And so they're going to be similar efforts in the House. And so we'll see how that plays out. And this was specifically on military action in Venezuela, but there are probably going to be other efforts in Congress to do similar war powers acts in other countries, given the threats coming out of the Trump administration on that.
Now, Lisa, you said speaking with Himes, you got the sense that he feels that a little bit there's a glimmer of hope that some of this might be reined in by Congress. What does he base that on?
Honestly, on purely politics, it seems like he was talking about the fact that since there were local and statewide elections happening in several states back in November, including in Connecticut, where Democrats performed really well and in some cases maybe even outperformed, he said that kind of kickstarted maybe some Republicans changing their tune. And again, we're only seeing pushback in certain forms, and it's not the entire party, but we are seeing a real realignment in certain ways. And whether that's on the War Powers Act, whether that's on expired Affordable Care Act subsidies, and he's saying the fact that we are currently in an election year. In November, there will be major midterm elections, and the balance of power in Congress could change. He's kind of looking at that as seeing small little shifts in Congress, but again, very small.
So, any chance that if Trump vetoes any of the actions of Congress, that there'll be the ability to override a Trump veto?
They've tried already on some pretty small bills. They were things that I don't even think passed in roll call votes. They were, done through unanimous consent. These were, pretty innocuous sounding things that were even being pushed by Republicans, and the president had vetoed it. And so last week we saw Congress or the House trying to override these vetoes. I think some Republicans went with Democrats on that, but not being able to overcome that. And so we will see if there continues to be vetoes, if Congress will try to reassert its power in certain ways and override some of those vetoes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Really appreciate you doing this, giving us a little bit of insight on how things are working in Congress right now.
Thanks for having me.
Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebon Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.